Okay. So, I think things were getting a little too fast towards the end of the last lecture, so I apologize for that. We need to do some more practice with using these rules. And kind of implicit in some of the examples I did at the end of the last class, but should be made explicit, is you're going to see this again in the context of derivatives when I get to derivatives, but we're not at derivatives yet. The chain rule for differentials is much easier than the chain rule for derivatives, that's one of the reasons I teach the differentials and then later I come to the derivatives, because it's so natural to use this. Okay. And I can state it informally, right? We can chain together multiple instances of the basic rules and any other rules we learn later. So what does chain together mean? Okay. A simple example. Think about this. Okay. You could use the power rule to say that the differential of x to the 4 is 4x, and then 4 minus 1 is 3, so 4x cubed dx. Okay? Now, here's what if I chain it as two things, right? Think of it as, think of x to the fourth as x squared squared, okay? So I can use the power rule twice, like this, okay? First, I use it on the square, okay? So this is kind of a special case of this, the differential, right, of x squared, right? So think of x here and 2 here. So 2 times x to the 2 minus 1. So just 2x. But wait a minute. I don't really have I don't have an x there. I have an x squared. Okay? So I use the power rule for squares once, right? Where it just simplifies to 2u du. And then, now I end up with another differential that I need to figure out. Now I can use this rule with u just x. And I get 2 times x squared, and then this becomes 2x dx. And now if you simplify this, look, you have 2 times 2 is 4, x squared times x is x cubed. You get the same thing, okay? So, a more advanced point of view would say that when you combine any two differential rules, you can prove that you still get a good approximation according to this technical definition of good here. I'm not going to go through a bunch of proofs of that.
You can come to my office or something if you want to see some proofs. But if
you chain together multiple good approximations, you get another good approximation in the sense that our error fraction of error in approximating change in output divided by change in input goes to zero, in other words, it gets small as the change in input gets small. Right?
How small enough depends on the function, but...
Anyways, the point is you can chain together good approximations to get more good approximations.
So I did a few, like two, you know, complicated formulas, and I used multiple rules last time, right, to get the differentials for some complicated looking thing. All right. But it's all going to be based on using the basic differential rules over and over again. So let's see here. So pi, and then it's about right. Okay. So here's a more complicated example. And I want to figure out the differential of this thing. X. Okay. So the strategy for these is you work from the outside in. Okay. So you start with the outermost operation, the thing in terms of your order of operations, the thing you do last, right? In this case, the cube root. Okay. So for the moment, forget about all the stuff inside the radical. Right. Just think of it as, you know, something in there. Okay. And now we need to use one of the basic rules to deal with it. Okay. Which rule should I use? Which of the basic rules should I handle to get a differential of a cube root?
Power rule.
Power rule. Because a cube root is a 1/3 power. Okay. And 1/3 is a constant. So I can legitimately use the power rule here. So 1/3, that's the a here, and then I'm going to have a minus 1. So that would be 1/3 minus 1. Okay. So you could write that. I'll just write it with a negative exponent. Wait, but I'm missing something, aren't I? Yeah, I'm missing the little du here. Yeah, I'm not going to get off that easy. And we know what the box is. The box is, you know, x squared plus 1 times 5 minus x cubed. Okay? All right. Now we got to deal with the box. All right? I'm just liberally making up lots of symbols, right, for the things now. Now when we think about order of operations inside the radical sign, what would you do last? Because of the parentheses, first you would compute everything inside here. Then you compute everything inside here, and finally, at the very end, you would multiply them, right? So the last thing you do is a multiplication. So we need to use a product rule. Yeah. I had the cube root problem, then I had the differential of the box problem, where the box was what's inside the radical. But now with the product rule, it's like my problems multiply. To know this one differential, I need to figure out two differentials now. Okay. All right. So this is what I'm calling u. This is what I'm calling v. Right, okay, so I need to get the differential of u now. Right? I mean, in this formula, I already know what U is. I made up U as a name for something I had. And I know what V is, but I don't know what DV and DU are yet. So I just keep working at it. Okay? So now DU. Now here, I can use a sum rule. Differential of x squared plus differential of 1. Okay. You can do the same thing for dv. You can think of it as 5 plus negative x plus negative x cubed. And the sum rule is valid for sums of more than two things. Right? You can have a sum of 20 things and the sum rule is valid. Okay? Now, for du here, this is going to be straightforward. Now, this is a power rule again, and it's the special squaring case. Okay. And then the differential of a constant is just zero. Over here, that's another constant, right? Five is always five; it never changes. The good approximation of a change in 5 is always 0. Mm-hmm. And then I can use a constant multiple here, right? You think of this as a negative 1 times an x. Okay. And then here, likewise, a negative 1 times a negative 1 times an x cubed. So there's one last thing I need to do, right? And one more power rule. Well, you could think of this as x squared times x, but it's faster to use the power rule.
Power rule.
Yeah.
If you want to prove why the power rule is true for the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, etc., that's how you do it. You use the product rule over and over again, but it'll be faster to just use the power rule. Because it's a special kind of power. Everything you're multiplying is the same. It's always an x. Okay. So let's see here. So we're going to have... Yep. And so it's going to be 3x and then 3 minus 1 dx. Okay. Which, of course, that's just 2. Okay. So this is a ton of writing. I did a ton of writing because I wanted you to see everything that was going on in my head. To the extent that you can squeeze all of this stuff into your head, you can write a lot less, right? To the extent you do it in your head, you don't have to introduce a box symbol, a U symbol, a V symbol, and so on, right? Let's see. I can give you another way of presenting the same computation without introducing extra symbols. I mean, the problem with this is we're not really done, right? 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 You have to put all of this stuff together into one big formula, right? Okay. Right. It would be... 1/3 times the box to the negative 2/3 power, right? And then the differential of the box, which I found to be u. Okay, so u is just by arbitrary choice. That was my name for x squared plus 1. Then I need a dv. Here's my dv over here. I can simplify this dv a little bit. And in fact, what I'm going to do at the end is I'm going to factor out the dx's. Okay? That's the tradition. You always factor out the dx's at the end. Okay, so if I factor out the dx's, what have I got? I've got 0, negative 1, okay, negative 1, and then minus 3x squared. And then
I need the V. That was just the 5 minus x cubed. I just named that V. And then I need the du, which was over here, just 2x dx. But I decided I wanted to factor out the dx's. For emphasis and little multiplications. Okay. So that's the big long answer, right?
Okay. In general, if you have a complicated formula, i.e. a complicated function, the differential will be complicated. Now, that doesn't mean you're always going to be dealing with complicated formulas. A lot of times, the formulas that are useful or most useful in the real world are relatively simple formulas because they're simple. I chose a complicated formula so that you could see all the workings of it. Right? Kind of see what a generic example is where there's no special coincidences to make it easy. Right? Okay. Let me just, yes?
So another name for differential would be derivative as well, right?
No.
No.
There's a distinction. Okay. Yeah. Again, you're sort of jumping ahead in my plan, but yeah, there is a distinction, right? With the differential is approximating a change in x. Okay.
So, it's approximating a change in a function of x. And how the function changes depends on how x changes, right? You can't do a good approximation of your output without knowing how the input changes. That's why there's a dx term here at the end, right? If I know exactly how x is changing, then I'll plug in the exact change for the dx. But the differential represents an approximate change, and you need... And so there's always going to be a dx in your differential formulas. Okay? If you divide out the dx, so that you're just seeing what multiple of dx is the approximate change in the function of x. You know, if you do cancel out that dx, then the thing you get is called the derivative.
Okay. Other questions?
Yeah. Are you going to give us the condensed form of that answer?
Do you mean like trying to simplify this somehow? Like
yes.
I could, but it's not required. I mean, in principle, I can type this formula into my calculator into a spreadsheet and feed it an x value, and my calculator or spreadsheet can compute the number. I need to feed it a number for the dx too, so it can multiply by that, right? But if I feed it an x and a dx, two numbers, it can take this complicated formula and give me a number, right? Just using addition, multiplication, and some exponentiation, right? So you can simplify that expression a little bit, but I'm not requiring that here. The point is to get a formula that we could actually compute with. So simplifying it may be nice, but it's not required. When you do want to simplify it is if for some reason you find yourself having to actually think about this formula and use it as a piece of in later formulas. If you have to use it again and again, then it might be worth your time to simplify it. But if you're just trying to get the formula and then forget about it, what's the point of simplifying it? Yeah. If it was a final answer, I wouldn't care about simplifying it. If I'm going to use it again a bunch, then simplifying it might be worth my time. Okay. I'm going to show you the same computation again, but this time without introducing any other extra variable symbols, okay?
This would be how it would look. So
let me, what should I erase? Well, let's see how it goes.
Okay. Here's the same thing again, but I'll write it in a, I'll show you how I could do it without lots of variable symbols. This is one way I could do it. I could write the same computation in a different way. I could just say, okay, this is a 1/3 power, so I use the power rule, and I get 1/3 times this stuff to the 1/3 minus 1 power, which is a negative 2/3 power. And then I have to multiply that, according to the power rule, by the differential of that stuff inside, right? Okay, so the differential of that stuff inside. Now here's where I have a choice. The next thing I write, I could go directly into the product rule in my head. So that now I'm thinking the differential is stuff inside. To show you my thinking, I'm going to write it, even though this will take more space. Right. This is just me showing another step for clarity. Right. I could have, you know, instead of writing this, I could have jumped straight into doing the power rule. All right. Okay, so what is this? All right, so this is going to be x squared plus 1 times the differential of 5 minus x squared minus x cubed. And again, I could have jumped straight into, you know, doing this differential. I'm going to show lots of steps here. And so I have that thing. And then depending on how many steps you skip, you know, you can figure out these differentials pretty fast, right? You think of it, okay, the differential's here, it's going to be, well, 5 is a constant, so differential 0, and then a minus 1 times a differential of an x using the constant multiple rule, so that'll be a negative 1 is the differential. A negative dx. Yep. And then here we'll have negative 1 times 3x squared dx by the power rule. Okay. So I can, depending on how much I want to do in my head, can have an effect on how much I have to write twice. Okay. Here we go. X squared plus 1, 0 minus 1 minus dx minus 3x squared dx. From there, and then we need 5 minus x cubed. And then here we're going to have 2x dx plus 0 by the sum rule and by the power rule applied to x squared. Right? This is the same computation, taking up slightly less space. Now, again, if you can do it all in your head, you write this part, then you start computing this in your head, and so then you write this and this, and then you fill in what this is and fill in what this is. Here now, the one thing I don't require a ton of simplification, but I do require the dx be factored out. So because I didn't factor it out in my head, because I wrote it down first, that forces me to write another line. So it's a trade-off between how easy is your computation to read and how easy is it to do versus how much space do you need to write it all out. Right? Okay, so factoring out the dx's. Exact same computation again, right?
Yeah, so Sometimes, you know, it can be helpful for thinking to introduce new symbols to help you forget about complexity temporarily, right? When I just had a little box, this was really easy to think about. Right. So here in this example, I just sort of, that abstraction was happening in my head. You know, I was just thinking this big old expression under the radical sign, that was the U I was using in my power rule, right? And the 1/3 was the A. Okay, so now I think I better take some pictures. Any questions, though? Any horrible algebra mistakes? Yeah. Well, a simple version of it, I mean, is I give you a formula and I say, give me the differential, right? Differential blah 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 equals question mark, and then you get an answer like this, right? Okay. Then I might follow it up. I might say, okay, plug in x equals 7 and dx equals negative 0.02 and compute what the differential is. That's an approximate change. And then maybe I ask you, okay, now compute the exact change by plugging in, you know, 7 for x and then 7 plus the 0.02 for x, right? And see, you know, how good an approximation it is, right? Yeah.
And we're going to have to know the rules?
Yes, the burn the rules in your brain. Yes. So, I guess, has anybody read what the syllabus says about tests? It's open note. Yeah. Okay. So, technically, you don't have to remember them, but I strongly advise it. Doing this kind of computation is slow as molasses if you have to look at the rules all the time, right? So you can't do these things very well, you know. It's just like long multiplication is painful if you don't memorize your multiplication table, right? You don't want to have to look at it all the time, right? Differentiating a complicated expression is painful if you haven't memorized the basic rules. Depending on what kind of calculator you have, though, your calculator may be able to get you the derivative, yeah? And then you just multiply it by a dx and you've got the differential. I know my calculator can do that. So you can use technology to help you out here, all right? Okay. Okay, so let me take some pictures here. Okay. Gotta change the batteries. Thank you. Okay. Now I want to do something involving a simple formula. Okay? Instead of some big complex thing, let's do something much simpler. All right?
I'll show you a nice little application. Okay? This is a nice little use of the product rule. All
right?
Say you sell stuff, right? You decide to drop the price by 1%. Okay. Quantity sold goes up 3%. What happened to revenue? Right? So the traditional letters are T and Q for price and quantity sold. The traditional letter for revenue is R. What is the formula relating P, Q, and R? It's a multiplication formula, right? If I sell 100 cans of soda at 50 cents each, you know, then my revenue is $50, right? 50 cents times 100. R is equal to P times Q. Okay? Now, you might think that I haven't given you enough information to answer the problem. And technically, that's true. I cannot give you an exact answer without knowing what the price was and what the quantity was. Right? It's not enough to just know the changes like this to get the exact change in revenue. But if you're willing to settle for an approximate change, like differentials give, then I have given you enough information, okay, to answer this question, at least in percentage terms. Okay, so what does it mean we decide to drop the price by 1%? Okay, it means maybe the price was $100 and it drops by 1% of 100 to $99. The change in price is -1% of what the price was, okay? So a formula for that would be delta P over P is -0.01, or just -1%, right? Okay. The change in price is -1/100 of what the price was. And then quantity sold, we're saying that delta Q, the exact change in quantity, is 3% of what the quantity was. An equivalent way of saying this would be, it's the same as saying the new price, right, is 0.99 times the old price, right? This is just our notation. We always call the old thing, we just give it the letter symbol, and then we add on a delta to talk about what happens after the change, right? Right? You can check the algebra, right? If you solve for delta P over P here, and like subtract the 0.99 P from both sides, you get 0.01p plus delta p is 0, right? And then solve for this fraction here, right? And algebraically, this is the same as saying the new quantity sold is equal to 1.03 times the old quantity. So, now,
we know the exact changes in, we know, well, I should say we know the exact percentage changes of price and quantity.
Right. So I'm going to, so I'm just going to use a perfect approximation there for the delta Q and the delta P, right? DQ and DP will just be delta P and delta Q. Okay, good.
So it's with revenue that I'm going to use an approximation. Okay?
So the exact change in revenue I can't tell you, but I can approximate it by the differential. Okay, so that would be, using the product rule, that would be PDQ plus QDP. And that looks like bad news, because I didn't tell you what the old price and the old quantity were, right? Okay, well, don't give up, because I don't think it's really fair to ask for an absolute change in revenue when I only gave you percentage changes in price and quantity. Let's just ask for a percentage change in the revenue. Okay? So whatever the revenue hit, whatever the old revenue was, don't worry about that. Let's just give a percentage answer. Okay? And then, after we simplify this formula a little bit, we'll have something where I can actually give a number. All right? Okay. So remember, I'm approximating the fractional change in revenue, right, as dr over r here, an approximate absolute change in revenue divided by what the old revenue was. Okay? The old revenue was the old price times the old quantity. Our approximation of the change in revenue is the old price times the change in quantity plus the old quantity times the change in price. That's our product rule formula. And you can see there's some cancellation now, right? You can break this up into two fractions.
Let's do that. Okay. Make sure I have enough pictures. Broke it up into two fractions, common denominator. Now you see the cancellations, I hope.
If you like to write things in alphabetical order, I suppose you could write it this way. Doesn't matter. The point is, I know those things. I know those two fractions. Right? The price went down by 1%. Right? So I have negative 1% for this fraction, dp over p. Right.
And then I also know the dq over q. So the answer is, if you drop the price by 1% and the quantity sold increases by 3%, the revenue will go up by approximately 2%. How good an approximation is it? You know, I can show you some numbers for that. It's a pretty good approximation. for small percentages at least.
If don't try this with, say, 50% and 75%. But for small percentages, this actually works pretty well. The differentials are good at approximating small changes. They're not good at approximating huge changes. I'll show you what I mean. Okay. Very simple example.
Let's, for numerical simplicity, suppose the price was $100, whatever, euros on it, whatever units, and quantity was 100. Okay? Then the change in price would then be, right, negative 1% of the old price, which would be negative 1. Change in quantity would be 3% of the old quantity, which is positive 3. So the new revenue, R plus delta R, will be the new price, P plus delta P, times the new quantity, Q plus delta Q. Which is going to be 99 times 103. Okay. And what was the old revenue was 100 times 100, right? So 10 to the fourth plus delta R, right? Okay, so 10,000. Plus the delta R is going to equal 99 times 103. So we can
maybe,
let's see here. 99 times 103, 10,197. Okay? Conclusion, delta R is 197. That's the exact change in revenue for those numbers. Okay? Yeah?
So what was the whole point for doing that? The one on the other side of the board, the one at the top where it says dp over p plus dq over q.
To find the 2%.
Yeah. How did that make that? That's what I'm here.
How did, say that again?
How did it cross over? Yeah, how did it cross over? So you just went from there to there.
Okay, so this is the product rule. Yeah? Well, the product rule's over there, right? But okay, so you see this formula, yes? I broke it up into two fractions. You see that? Then I cancel the p's in the first fraction. I cancel the q's in the second fraction. Is that what you're asking about?
He's asking how they both relate.
Yeah, how do they both relate? I know what you did, but like, how did?
How does that site relate to this other problem that we did?
I mean, this. I'm just.
Okay. Equal. Equal.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's all that's going on. Yeah. It's okay.
You're out of space.
I come to the end of the line.
And then I go over here. Okay.
Like the 2%, that's supposed to replace all of that work. So if you're not going to do that work, the approximate is 200. That's it. Approximate revenue, but it's 197 because he actually did the work for us. It's supposed to not do that work. It's just a way of funding.
I did some algebra here to relate dr over r to dp over p and dq over q. Mm-hmm. The good news is you can memorize that result. You don't need to do the algebra like that every time. Our differential formula said the revenue changed by 200 if you use these numbers. And the actual revenue change was 197. So that's, you know, how good it really is in very concrete terms. It's a good approximation. Okay? And this is a very easy thing to learn, that if you have two things multiplied together and you have small percentage changes in each, all you have to do is add the percentage changes, and you get a very good estimate of the change of the product. That's the point of this exercise. Okay? Right? I mean, it's all this algebra I did here shows you how what looks like, you know, all multiplication stuff becomes addition stuff. Right? Okay? In fact, I can tell you a much more general rule. It's very nice. That comes from a combination of the product rules and the power rules. I walked through some of the algebra here so that you might actually believe this formula. But it is actually a special case of something much more general. So I'll show you that. The other way. Okay. The very nice general fact. Okay. If A and B are constants, these are going to be exponents. Okay, so I had this rule here like that. I came up with dr over r equals dp over p plus dq over q. Here's a more general case of that. Okay? If you have the differential, how about I write it with letters again? So let's say, and I have something z equals x to the a times y to the b. Then you can prove this using the product rule and the power rule. It's very nice. dz over z equals a times dx over x plus b times dy over y. Okay? Okay. This is a great way for approximating relative changes. So the special case, what we did with the P and the Q is just a special case of the more general rule. Because you can think of this as x to the 1 and y to the 1. Okay.
Okay. So what I showed you there with product and revenue, you can prove it from scratch if you're clever with your algebra and you use a product rule. But I think it's better to just learn this fact as it is. It's very useful, especially in fields like business, economics. A lot of times you're not talking about an absolute change. You're talking about a percentage change. Something went up 5%, something else went down 0.3%. And so you really want to be thinking in, not in terms of the change, but the change divided by the old value. In fact, you could even think of this as, you could memorize this instead of the product rule. You can actually take this and turn it around to prove the product rule. It's actually equivalent. And this even works if you have more stuff, right? What if I multiplied three things, right? It still works. It generalizes very simply. If I have constants A, B, C, and say W is X to the A times Y to the B times Z to the C, then DW over W is equal to A times DX over X plus B times DY over Y plus C times DZ over Z. It's great. So for relative changes, if they're small relative changes, so that the differential approximation is good, then this gives you a good and simple estimate. Okay. Let's see, other questions or comments? Okay. Let's do another example now. Or this time, instead of an absolute change, it's a relative change. Okay? here's a little geometry example. A cone. Radius R, height H. This is a geometry problem, so I'll give you the geometry formula, right? It's 1/3 pi r squared h, right? For a cone, you do 1/3 base times height to get the volume. And the base is pi r squared, area of the circle. It's a circular cone there. Okay? So this is I'm giving changes in percentage terms. So I'm going to give an approximate answer in percentage terms. Okay. Okay. Now, I'm showing more steps than are strictly necessary, but that's. Hopefully that helps make it clear what I'm doing. You can use a constant multiple rule here to factor out the 1/3 pi. Pi's just cancel. So we just have the differential of r squared h divided by r squared h. Okay? So now we use this rule here, which you can prove using a combination of the product rules and the power rules if you don't believe it yet. But if you're willing to take that rule on faith for the moment, let's use that rule, okay? So the z is going to be the r squared h, and then let's have the x be the r, so the a is 2, and the y can be the h, so the b, let's see, it's r squared h, so that's h to the 1, so the b is 1. Okay. So now I'm at the end of that line, so I'm coming over here. So I have 2 times dr over r. Plus 1, because it's just a 1 power of h, times dh over h. Okay? The dr over r, right, that's just going to, we know the exact relative change in radius, so we don't need to approximate it. Right? So it's just going to be negative 3%. Right? Plus 1 times a positive 5%. Okay, so 2 times 3. So negative 6% plus 5% equals negative 1%. Okay? A negative 1% change in the volume. Okay? So with a cone, the radius has a bigger influence on the volume than the height, as this example shows. I increase the height 5%, I only decrease the radius by 3%, but the effect on the volume is a net negative.
So in actuality, basically it didn't really expand a lot, just kind of shrunk down maybe?
It got taller and skinnier, and the net result was less volume.
Okay.
So if the cone was filled with water and you made it 5% taller but 3% skinnier, then it would hold about 1% less water. Okay. We can, again, just like in the revenue example, I can put some actual numbers on this, and we can see to what extent, you know, this was a good approximation. So.
Slightly too high. Let me just erase this. Go a little lower.
Okay. Let's see some numbers on this. Again, it'll. Here, how about instead of 100, I do something else?
How about R is equal to 5 centimeters, and H is equal to 9 centimeters?
Okay. Let's see what actually happens. You'll see how good the approximation was. Okay. So these are going to be the old R and H, and then we add the new R and H, right? Okay, so delta R, we're decreasing by 3%, so multiply this 5 by 3%, so negative 0.15 centimeters. And then the height is going up by 5%, so 9 times 5% is 45%, or 0.45 centimeters. Okay. And let's talk about the volume as well. Right? 1/3 pi times r squared h something something in cubic centimeters. Okay, pi divided by 3 times 5 squared times 9. Okay, about 235.619 blah 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 cubic centimeters. Okay. Okay. Now let's talk about this is the old stuff. Now let's talk about the new. Right? So R plus delta R is 4.85 centimeters. And H plus delta H is 9.45 centimeters. And then the new volume I'm going to have to do 1/3 pi times the new R squared times the new H, right? Okay, so that's going to be pi over 3 times, instead of 5 squared, it's going to be 4.85 squared. And instead of times 9, it's going to be times 9.45. And we get 232.779 blah, blah, blah cubic centimeters. All right. Now, we could take the 232, subtract it from the 235, and we get our delta V. Yes, it's negative 2.8403 blah, blah, blah cubic centimeters. Okay. We did a relative change here, so we need to divide by the old volume. Okay, so we take that negative 2.8 something, we divide it by the old volume of 235 cubic centimeters.
And the answer is that the exact relative change, right, so delta V over V, is negative 0.012055, which is equal to negative 1.2055%.
Okay.
Compare to dV over V equals negative 1%. Right? Worked out pretty good.
Yeah. It's not perfect, but it's a relatively simple formula for the approximation. You know? I mean, I tried to show you a ton of steps to justify what I was doing, but in my mind, when I was making up the problem, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to double the radius percentage change and add that to the height percentage change, right? Which is all I did here, right? Okay. Questions or comments? Yeah.
Where can we get more
problems to practice? Oh, let's see. That's a good question. Let me get back to you. I'll find some or I'll make some, okay?
So basically all you do is calculate an approximate change, and then on the second step here, you're proving it that what you calculated was very much close to.
Yeah, I think of it as I was testing it. Now, if you use big percentage changes, these will actually be bad approximations, and you can try that out with some numbers. No. But if the percentage changes aren't too large, it works reasonably well. Okay. So as a start towards getting you more practice problems, I'm going to put some homework on the board now. So let's see here. Okay. I guess that's as high as. Okay.
So I think I already took a picture of that one. Yeah.
This is like the cone problem, only easier.
there's actually fewer variables. Okay.
I put number two here. This is just a pure, you know, algebraic problem. Okay.
Okay.
So that's a start. As far as practicing, say, differentials, make up any formula you want in terms of x and try to differentiate it. In the end, you should get something where you factor out the dx and then compare that to what a computer says the derivative is. In fact, let me bring the screen down. See if I can get this going here. You know, there are a lot of places where you can get somebody to check your derivative computations. I would recommend getting a calculator. You know, I put some calculator recommendations, so just get a calculator that can do a derivative formula for you. There's, you know, you may have heard of WolframAlpha.com, or another version of that is, I think it's SimPyGamma.com. Look at this. Okay. Ta-da! The only thing that's missing, it divides by the dx, see? So that's why there isn't a dx at the end, but that's there. It does the derivative. And it even can simplify it for you. Yeah? Okay, so you can check your work. Get maybe a TI-89 or something that can, you can check your work on your calculator, okay? The procedure I gave, working from the outside in, it's very mechanical. They've taught computers and calculators how to do it. Okay? SimPy Gamma does the, you know, the same thing. Maybe. Slightly different syntax, I guess. There's... Well, Wolfram Alpha is the easier one.
There's ways to check your...